spirit me in this realm. There's a God up in heaven, there's a devil in hell. There's a mother, she's crying, cause her babies are dying. And a father in jail, with a son by his side. But our father, he loves us, unlike any of us. Gave his only beloved, 316 on the cross. I know where you're going, if you live in that life. Don't be perfect among us, but in the dark we are light. Thank you, Jesus, I love you, help me spread the good news. If you live in a lie, you ain't gonna die with the truth.
This is Matt and Mom Live. It's real, it's raw, it's relevant. This show is about the topical, the conversational, but most importantly, the purposeful. We hope to develop and distribute hope to the broken. We pray that this show blesses you today. All right, we're back at it again. This is Matt and Mom Live. It's real, it's raw, it's relevant, and we are continuing this episode from where we left off last week. And what we did was we introduced a character in my life, and yours, Mom, whose name is Sean.
Another character from prison.
Yeah. And
you'd be surprised how many characters there are.
Well, let's just rewind real quick. Let's digress. Remember advice from somebody they told me before I went in?
Yes. Stay to yourself.
Stay to yourself. You'll not meet a single person
worthy
that you will ever have at your own house.
Yes.
How many?
Wait a minute, though. Let us just talk about that. What happened after he left that night? Do you remember what I said and what you said?
Well, I mean, I remember being appreciative for advice and stuff, but I remember just...
What, this person had just come from prison.
Yeah, so they were fresh.
So he was basically saying, stay to yourself and know...
He gave me a layout of the land.
Right.
I was going to the same place.
But basically that there is no one that you will ever want at your house.
Yeah, you'll never have a single person that you would invite to dinner, stuff like that. So it was almost like, huh? But that was foreign to me because I always figured no matter where I was, my personality would not even allow me to be closed off.
Yes, and I said to you after he left, and we were so appreciative of him being here, but I remember saying to you the one big piece that was missing was God.
Yeah.
And so we know with God, all things are possible, and whoever you meet, God's going to design it and perfect it.
That's right. So, and he did, and from Jason
Williams.
And frankly,
we've had a lot of people over to our house from prison.
Yeah, a lot.
A lot.
A lot.
Which cracks me up when I think about it. I got to tell you all out there, sometimes I don't want to know your rap sheet. I don't want to know what you did in your past. I only know if you're in Christ now, I don't care about your past.
Yeah, and if you want to talk spiritual, unfortunately, everybody has a rap sheet.
True. That's true.
Whether it's a physical sheet that is printed out from a prosecutor's office, or the sheet that was nailed to the cross of Jesus Christ. Whatever way you want to look at it, we all have a past, so therefore...
True.
You know, it was an honor to have some of these guys because, hey...
No, it is an honor because you can actually see that change
versus
someone that has inner issues.
Right, and so you got former NBA All-Star Jason Williams, and we got the former mob enforcer, Little John Palladino. We introduced Pastor Victor Hudson, the minister that came in and ministered to all of us.
Yes.
Jason was next to me during these Monday night sessions. Little John eventually was coming down, and now Sean is introduced to Pastor Victor Hudson.
Sean's from our last show, if you've just tuned in.
Sean is the same age as me. He's turning 31 in September, and... He got a little bit more time than I did. He got actually 8 years at 85%, which means he has to serve 85% of 8 years, which is 6 years and 11 months. And our crimes aren't too different. They're not too much different from one another. So if you know what I did, I was responsible for a at-fault drunk driving collision that resulted in the death of the other driver, a 55-year-old man named Hort Cap. And I bring that up now, maybe haven't done so in several shows, but always bring his name up to honor it and what God has allowed me to do in my life, the breath that I have. And I go around and I speak to the kids about decisions, and I always bring up Mr. Hort Cap and his family and how awesome that family is, really, because without their forgiveness, I don't know where I would be.
True.
And I believe that their forgiveness to me on January 7, 2010, and on after that, was an extension of heaven's mercy, and it touched me that day. It set me free spiritually on the day that I was physically incarcerated. So,
which is funny because people say to you, when was your release date?
Yeah.
And what do you say?
Well, I used to give a testimony, you know, 1 year into prison, 2 years into prison. Every time I would stand up and give my testimony, I would basically announce what you would hear other inmates announce, Mom, which was they would all say, I want to praise the Lord today because I got my release date. And they would talk about their parole date. And everybody would clap. People would go crazy, hear about somebody getting a release date and they're leaving. Well, I would do that every now and then with, when there's a whole new crowd. Say, I just want to praise God because I've been given a release date. And everybody's going crazy. And I would start talking about this release date that God gave me. And when I would say the date that it was January 7, 2010, people would like,
why are you still here?
Yeah, they'd be dumbfounded. But I'll talk about it was that day that God set me free. And it was never about that future date.
Yeah.
I was set free from the onset. So, and then we meet Sean. And if you are unsure how this came to be, I encourage you to go back to the last episode on this podcast where you can possibly find every single episode we've done at themattmayerstory.com. Go to the Matt and Mom live tab, and there they are. But here we are, and I'm upstairs with Little John, getting to know him, and we're getting along so well. And now Sean is downstairs with Jason Williams, and he basically is a replacement of me. Same type of dynamic between them two. And so it was cool. Even when me and Jason met, we were so happy that we had somebody else. Because he would send Little John notes. You know that?
No.
He would write Little John notes saying, thank you for taking care of my boy. So there was a relationship that was
almost like two different bodyguards, for one for Sean, meaning Jason had that kind of protection.
And you need that in there. Everybody has somebody in there. It just depends what type of person that is.
So when last we met, I'm really dying to hear this. Apparently, Jason is setting up, or Little John is now orchestrating this workout competition between you and the other Sean, who's just like you, a great athlete and very physically fit.
Very physically fit.
So how is this done? What's going on?
All right, so first of all, Jason, every time he would get a chance, he would make sure he instigated me about Sean's good athlete, and he would probably dominate you on the basketball court.
Why is Sean a good athlete?
Well, he was a wrestler in high school. He played basketball. He was physically fit. I mean, he was a runner. He really was. You can put him on the volleyball court, he would do fine. Put him on the handball court, he would do fine. The only sport he did not know how to do anything with?
Soccer. But I thought, wasn't he training too for
currently, and still to this day, which is X amount of years later, he is an aspiring triathlete.
And he has that as a goal.
He has this love for this sport, which he found while he was away, and it was the only channel he can get on one of the TV stations where he was in a cell. And he was really discouraged. Really discouraged. Why? Because he just found out his mother was diagnosed with cancer. So he turns on this triathlete channel, and they're interviewing one of the famous guys in the triathlete world. I forget his name. Sean will be so disappointed if I don't remember his name. I'm sorry, Sean. And the guy is telling about how his family background is similar to Sean's. And I say that because I think it was either his father or his mother that was battling cancer. Now, Sean is now locked in to this interview. And this guy is talking about the strength that he had to endure and all because of the sport. And he starts to get a connection. So it was from that day forward that he began to train as best as you possibly could in prison for a 3-sport-in-1 event. And they're called triathlons.
I remember, who was it? Maybe Little John or Jason would tell me he would run around the yard like Forrest Gump.
A million times.
Like just nonstop.
At a crazy pace too. At a crazy pace.
Like a deer. Watching a
deer. 5-minute miles just around and round and round and round. Now we're talking in the heat of summer.
Wow.
And this is the time where Little John wants to set this little competition up between me and Sean.
So what is he going to set up?
Well, we'll never be in the same rec movement.
Phone call?
Phone call. We'll never be in the same rec movement. So Little John can be because he is a weight stacker. He works in the yard,
right,
which means he can go to every movement. So he goes out to their movement, and he basically gets to meet Jason, and he obviously gets to meet Sean a little further.
Does he like Sean right away?
No.
Or does he like you so much?
Because he loves me so much that anybody that's coming against me is an enemy.
He's taking that mob disposition right into the prison.
No, but like, now he loves Sean to this day, but back then he would come back to the team like, man, you're gonna destroy this little punk. Like, he'd be so mad. Like, he really wanted me to just completely
annihilate any competition.
Because you're already training hard with Little John. You're doing stuff that other prisoners can't keep up with.
Yeah, just breaking them completely.
So is this the kind of same workout he's going to?
Same workout. He designs this workout where it's involving, we'll say, 25-pound dumbbells. They're heavy. And everything that you do involves using them. So you're down on the ground, and you're holding the dumbbells, and you're doing your push-up sets into burpees. And you don't let go of the dumbbells. You pick the dumbbells up, and you do like an over-the-head shoulder press. Then you go down and do a squat, and you get down and do a burpee. Now that's like 20. You have to do 20 of those. By the time you've done that, you're exhausted. Well, guess what you do? You put the weights down, and you go do a lap while you're being timed. When you come back from the lap, guess what you do? You jump onto the pull-up bar. And you do pull-ups, like 10 of them, but you don't do regular pull-ups. You do pull-ups. Once you get down, you do a leg crunch while you're hanging. Then you pull your whole body up. Then you come down. You do a leg crunch. Then you pull your whole body up. Then you come down. You do a leg crunch. It's like a ridiculous Navy SEAL workouts.
Oh, my gosh. He could have killed you in prison.
Every day I'm doing that.
John, you could have killed him if you're listening to this.
No, he always knew I had so much more in me. And, this is what he's going to put us through. So he does me in the first rec, which was like, we'll say – John always said it was the hottest part of the day. Sean said when he did it was the hottest part of the day. So it was a hot day, Mom. It was like, I don't even know, 90, high 90s.
Is there a witness?
Well, Jason and Little John were going to be the witnesses. It was okay. The time. And he runs me through it in the afternoon. And it was my typical workout. So it wasn't anything like that. I did what I did. He timed it. And then he put Sean through the same workout. And
oh, my gosh, what happened? I'm dying to know.
They'll all have different recollections. But basically, when Little John came back to the tier that day, he had the biggest smile on his face because he said he didn't finish the workout. Now, Sean is whenever Sean gets out and he gets to listen to this, he's going to be like, he finished. But Little John said, hey, stopping off into the Porta John in the middle of the workout, I don't know what you did in there, but you came out and your eyes were all watery, and usually that would indicate that somebody was throwing up. So, Sean says that wasn't the case. He said he just was dehydrated that day and he needed to take a break. But they're hard workouts, trust me. And if Sean never did it before,
right,
there's
exactly.
No way he finished that workout.
Exactly.
So apparently the story goes that Little John broke Sean and Jason had to watch it. So then when I would meet with Jason would say, all right, you got him. But to Sean's credit, let me fast forward in the story. Sean and I eventually ended up on the same tier with Little John.
Right.
And the reason why, and I'm jumping ahead of the story, is because Jason eventually leaves prison. His time's up, which leaves Sean downstairs. And we didn't want to leave Sean downstairs by himself. So, you know what? No, I'm missing a part.
Which part?
I'm missing a part why he got moved upstairs. We didn't get him moved upstairs. He got moved upstairs because of something else happened on the tier.
I don't remember.
Like
this.
Something shady happened, not with him. Just as soon as Jason left, Sean basically witnessed what I witnessed, which was
corruption.
People coming back to what they truly are, and like he just was amazed. People were talking trash on Jason, talking trash on everything, and Sean was so disturbed at that. And this is the biggest part. I'm leading the Bible study downstairs. When I leave, Jason takes over the Bible study. When Jason leaves, Sean takes over the Bible study. But one of the individuals who never, ever voiced an opinion in that Bible study when I was running it, when Jason was running it, is now outspoken, and he's introducing perverted doctrine. He's talking about Jesus having sexual relations with Mary Magdalene, and he's introducing it to the group, and Sean's trying to tell him, like, yo, why are you doing this? And he's basically saying, well, I have every right, don't I? And he starts introducing all this stuff that is causing division. So Sean calls him out one day. They get into an argument just simple about, like, why are you doing that? And then he believes, because this guy was a former cop, he believes that he went and told some of the officers something about Sean, and that got Sean moved. And what would it be that would get Sean moved? What do you think they told?
This I don't is know. That tell proselytizing?
This, no, we're going to tell the audience right now what it is Sean was in for.
Okay.
Well, like I told you, he did what I did. He was right. He was responsible for an at-fault drunk driving accident. Yep. Unfortunately, you can't put a price tag on anybody's life. But in the society we live in, because of the person that he killed, and to be where you are, and to have certain people that work there find out the type of person you killed, think about it. And do you understand what I'm saying?
Right. Well, the person that Sean
struck,
was a cop.
Sean struck a on-duty officer as he was transporting a prisoner in the middle of the night, Sean left a bar and he basically ran a red light and T-boned a Perth Amboy cop who was with a passenger officer and a prisoner, and the driving officer died. So I believe this other individual, this other inmate, used that to tell cops that Sean was a cop killer.
Got it. And then he was, wasn't he put up in 7 West?
No, he was put up on 5 West, which was a bad tier.
Okay, 5 West.
And he was basically comfortable. He believed that God was putting him up there to help out that tier, and he did. He was starting to influence people on that tier. He started a Bible study. But over time, his mother's condition worsened.
And how long was he on 5? Do you remember?
maybe a month, maybe 2
months.
I don't
think it was,
but
it
wasn't long,
him.
But his mom's condition really worsened. So we had a couple officers that really liked us that would come and say, hey, do you want us to get him moved? Like, this is going to be really hard for him. And we would always ask him. He'd say, you know, he's fine. He would say, man, I'm fine.
Is that because he was settled in? Like,
yeah,
when
once
you get settled in.
You really don't want to leave. And there's a struggle, especially when you're trying to please God and live in his will. You don't want to take matters into your own hands. You want to see wherever God has you. And literally, I've seen both ways. I've seen God have his way, and I've seen myself and other people get in the way of God's will, and you can kind of manipulate things, and it turns out worse than what you thought. So Sean was in that state where he said, if I'm meant to be with you guys, it'll happen. And the one day, I remember meeting Sean in lunch at Mess Hall Movement, because somebody told me go meet Sean, and it was the day that he told me his mother had passed away.
He wasn't on your tier when she passed away?
Nope.
Oh, my goodness.
We got him moved after that.
Can you even imagine, like, he's in prison? And I had been speaking on the phone with his mom several different times, knowing that she had the cancer, and encouraging her about Sean, that he's in good hands.
What a beautiful woman.
What a wonderful woman. A strong woman. Her background was in nursing. She was a nurse.
Yeah, very impressive nurse who, in fact, took care of Jason's father when he was having strokes.
Yes.
There was the connection between Jason and Sean.
In fact, Jason went to see her when he got out.
When Jason got out, he went to see her.
It's an amazing story, but to have that kind of news that your mom's passed away and you're out of your element anyway, and to have to deal with grief in a dark place called prison.
Right. And he only saw her once in, I would say, maybe a couple years. She was
right.
only
she
strong
come.
Enough to come once.
That was when I would talk to her on the phone, that was bothering her. And I'd say, Margaret, he is fine. He mm-hmm. is fine. Encourage her.
And he was.
He knows the Lord. She said she had seen a great difference in him and
sure.
his attitude because of his newfound relationship with Christ.
Right, yeah. And she gradually got worse, and he had to get that news not only from 15-minute phone calls, but in visits on the weekends with his siblings. And they would come in. He'd always would be able to read them when they would come in. He always knew they had to tell him something about mom. And he would always come back devastated, but he was so resilient because of his faith. And this is what's crazy about my connection with Sean is, people began to watch Sean closely because they knew that his mother was dying. And unfortunately, because of the way people are wired, they're waiting for him to curse. They're waiting for him to turn on God, almost like provoking him to say, well, you're serving God now. Look, how's that working for you? And he was always bedrock. He was always bedrock when it came to that. He always was. He was a broken man, just like all of us. But God was able to kind of work inside of him in his vulnerable states. So no, we weren't together when his mother passed away. And I remember I saw him that day, and he was strong, and he cried, and I cried, and we hugged each other in the middle of the cafeteria, in the middle of the mess hall. I didn't care. We both didn't care. And I think some of the officers knew, and they kind of let it go down, because you're not allowed to have interaction like
right.
that. And he had already made the decision that he was going to go and see her for the last time, which was an arranged
pre-funeral, the day of the funeral.
Yeah, the day of the funeral. And what happens is, we'll kind of open this topic up before we close the show out. You have to have X amount of money in your account at a certain date for this to even be possible. And it's expensive, Mom.
Why is that?
It is expensive because it costs money for the correction officers to transport you. You are a security risk. They have to go in prior, make sure that nobody is there at the funeral home or wherever the funeral is being held. No family member. The moment they see a family member, they terminate that visit, and you lost that money. So
he, what is the money, though? Is it a guarantee, or does it pay them?
Yeah, you have to have say the funeral was on the 21st. You had to have money in your account by the 14th. I don't know, like a couple weeks before or something like that. And it was I think it was like $600-$700.
Does it go out to somebody, or is it just in case?
It has to be in your inmate account, and yes, it goes out. You lose that money.
Oh, they're paying overtime.
They're paying overtime officers for a 30-minute visit to see your loved one. You know what? You don't get to see anybody else. And
well, let's save that whole experience for the next show, because it's so heart-wrenching. And there's a lot of people out there who may be going through a really tough time, a dark time, and this might speak to your heart, how Sean approached that, how God was present with him, and how he eventually, you know, made him a stronger Christian.
Yeah, he had such peace, and we'll hold off on that. So what we did today was we just dissected how Jason and Sean and Little John and I and our relationship all developed, all at different times, and we're all still in contact with one another.
This is four alpha males. Oh, my goodness gracious.
And Sean is the only one who's still incarcerated.
Yes.
Out of us four. And I'm in contact with him. I mean, he calls every now and then, so I get to hear his voice, and I get to hear how he's doing. He's at the final. He's on the home stretch.
Yes.
He's on the home stretch of his
I think he's
journey.
Working on his master's degree. And
yeah, I mean,
he's
go,
a great guy.
We're going to talk about what Sean accomplished in that amount of time, what he's still accomplishing. We're going to talk about some of the things he's working on that I know personally I would love to share, and just talk about his family. And you know what? They all came down, the siblings, to hear me speak when I first got out.
Yep. They were all
so
here
we
for the
party.
So we
were all able to meet them for the first time, and I was able to share some of the insights from behind the wall about Sean and even their family that they probably never heard, and it was my testimony. So please just keep in mind, no matter where you are, no matter what you're going through, please trust and know that there's a God out there that loves you and he cares for you so intimately. And we miss sometimes those intricate designs that he allows into our life to get us through. I mean, you may see them in hindsight, but we want to encourage you to see them with foresight, that you can already know that no matter where you are and what you're looking at, God is putting people in your life to get you through. It could be a neighbor. It could be a stranger. It could be a family member. Please do not allow the misery. Do not allow the adversity to blind you. And there's some biblical stories behind that. And I'll just end with this. And it involves Mary Magdalene, who went to the tomb. And she is troubled that the stone is one rolled away and the body of Jesus is gone. And the Bible says she turns and she sees another individual. And the individual, she assumes, is the gardener. And she asks the gardener, what have you done with his body? Basically pleading with him, bring his body back. I will help you. Or I'll carry the body. That's how devoted this woman was. And then Jesus says her name, Mary. And she is enlightened. And she recognizes her Lord and Savior. And why did I tell you that? It's because perhaps it was the misery, it was the sorrow that blinded her sight. She did not recognize her Savior. She assumed he was just a gardener. How many people in our life do we assume is just that person? Meanwhile, they are God trying to speak to you through that individual. Do not count anybody out or cancel anybody out. So, reminder, the clearest testimony that you have isn't the one you share for people to hear, it's the one you live for people to see. And as always, Psalm 46:10, be still and know that he is God. We thank you and we hope to have you tune in next time.
Where are you going? Yahweh, you don't know him. I answer his calling. Y'all people ain't knowing. He breathed in my lungs and spared me from Satan. And now that I love, even my loved ones they hate. Waiting pacing for me to fall on my face. But I'm falling in faith, pardon me for his grace. There's a battle out there, spirit leading this realm. There's a God up in heaven. There's a devil in hell. There's a mother, she's crying, cause her babies are dying. And a father in jail with a son by his side. But our father, he loves us, unlike any of us. Gave his only beloved 316 on the cross. I know where you're going if you live in that light. No one perfect among us, but in the dark we are light. Thank you, Jesus, I love you. Help me spread the good news. If you live in a lie, you ain't gonna die with the truth. Running the street, y'all think y'all doing something different. Nah, don't you know they've been watching that block that you're on since before my time?
Wow.
So what makes you think that you're doing something different? You want to do something different? Put your faith in Christ. I've been there.